What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And a one ball pitch. Giles swings, drive to right field. Buccos win by way of a grand slam. Brian Giles, a line drive, grand slam into the right field seats. Count them. 6, 7, 8. Giles makes 9. Bucks win 9-8. There was no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Vintage Lanny Fritteri.
Oh, yeah. That was the legendary Brian Giles Grand Slam, which I might add was among the top five. I think it was number 3 on greatest comebacks in Pittsburgh sports history on this show and in my series on the Post-Gazette in this quarter century. What were they down? 8-2 with no outs in the bottom of the ninth,
yeah,
limits?
Against Billy Wagner.
Billy Wagner, I remember that. And that just...
Against Billy Wagner.
A lot of people left. A lot of people didn't want to be, you know, get home quick. And, boy, you never know what you're going to see in a sporting event.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think it was one of two in the modern era, one of two comebacks of 6 runs or more in the ninth with 2 outs. Only one other time had that ever happened. So I'm sorry, I picked that one number 2 among the greatest comebacks. Plus, Bob, you mentioned it. He was going against a Hall of Famer, yeah, throwing 100 miles an hour. A lefty. It was a lefty-on-lefty matchup. Do you guys know who started the Miracle Rally with a double? Bob? Wrong. Limits?
Aramis Ramirez.
Wrong. Kevin Young.
Oh,
had a
K-Y.
Double.
K-Y.
Okay, so it's 8-2. There's 2 out. Kevin Young hits a double. Pat Mears homers to make it 8-4.
Patty Mears, who can forget him?
Adam Hizdu is put in. You might as well have put Adam Crowley in to pinch hit for Omar Olivares, the pitcher. He singles. Tyke Redman walks.
Tyke, I remember him.
Jack Wilson singles in Hizdu to make it 8-5, and that's when Astros manager Larry Dierker, remember him, Bob?
Dierker, he was one of the good pitchers in their organization for many
Dierker,
years.
Yes, summoned Wagner. So he comes in, he hits Jason Kendall in the leg, and up comes Brian Giles. And you know what, just for the goosebump factor, I want to hear that again, Bob.
Yes.
And a one-ball pitch. Giles swings, drive to right field. Buccos win by way of a grand slam. Brian Giles, a line drive, grand slam into the right field seats. Count them. 6, 7, 8. Giles makes 9. Bucks win 9-8. There was no doubt about it.
It happened again. Goosebumps. Look at this. Look at my arm, Bob.
Lanny, when he was in his prime, man, he was outstanding.
Oh, is that great? And I think that brings up our first topic on the Limitless Express, does it not?
It does. So Donnie tweeting out, I guess he must have talked to Lanny today. Lanny telling Donnie the Pirates will be adding Lanny Fritteri to their media wall of fame on Wednesday, September 3rd. Lanny wore the headset 33 years from 1976 to 2008, called over 5,000 games with the Pirates.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah, really happy for Lanny for this.
You guys are lucky to have had him as a teacher over there too at Waynesburg, because he's been there and done that at the highest level.
Yeah, and I've actually talked to him about this before. I know how much this means to him and what the people on that media wall of fame at the park means to him, and him wanting to be a part of it. So I'm glad that he's and the Pirates are honoring Lanny.
Well
for
deserved.
This.
Now there may be some controversy, Bob. Did he make it ahead of Ron?
That's a great question.
Is Ron on that media wall of fame yet, Bob?
I don't think, but I don't know for sure.
Should we call Ron and interview him and try to stir up a little controversy here?
No. He's probably having a good day in the sun. He's on a few beers, so you never know what he's gonna say if you call
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. That would be a good column. No, Lanny is absolutely deserving. Who else is on the Pirates media?
Sally O'Leary is one of them. And Sally and Lanny go way back. She was tremendous in her role.
She was. Yes, I remember talking to her.
Stan Saverin's in it.
Stan Saverin.
Well, should be.
Bob Smizek is on the media wall of fame, right?
Yes. I'm trying to think of who else. You go by it every day, but.
Yeah, Smizek and Saverin both got in 2018.
I'm trying to think who else is up. Oh, here we go. Gene Collier did a column on this. Al Abrams?
Mm-hmm.
Art McKinnon, you remember him,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, he was the, he played the piano or the organ.
Obviously, Bob Prince, right?
Bob Prince.
Charlie Feeney.
Pally, that's who Ron Cook always calls Pally.
And that was Ron's mentor.
Right.
Yes. Charles Chili Doyle for the Sun Telegraph, covered him 43 years beginning in 1914. He might have been Ron's mentor too, right, Bob? Rosie Rosewell, who was their first radio broadcaster. People like your dad probably listened to him, right?
Oh, by far. I mean, that was the only way you could really get all the scoop on your local team is by listening on a radio back then.
Art McKinnon, I guess he was their PA announcer.
Was he? I thought he was an organist.
That's what Gene wrote, is their public address announcer of 38 years at two stadiums, Art McKinnon.
Who am I thinking? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Vince Lashide. Never mind. I'm going into the Penguins. Art McKinnon. Absolutely.
I'm trying to think who else. Now, we need to put on a campaign to get Ron in here. And you might say, well, somebody who ripped the Pirates a lot, you know, they wouldn't choose. They chose Smizek. Who rips the Pirates more than Smizek, Bob? Whoever has.
By the way, I think Guy Junker does a really good job with the PA now.
He does.
He's doing that job.
He's
great. Enjoying it. He's a retired man and living life very big right now. So
very
keep
nice
it up, Guy.
Man. Very nice man. Anybody else you can think of that should be in, Bob? How about Malzi at some point?
Yeah, I got to think back over.
But intern Dom at some point. Can we get a couple of clips of intern Dom? Not criticizing Bob, but anything else?
Remember Paul Meyer? Paul Meyer wrote a lot of.
Yeah, Paul Meyer might be in. I don't know.
Yeah,
I bet you he is in. What a character.
Bob Hertzel used to do a lot of pirate.
He sure did.
Yeah, back in the day.
Dom's swimming in the deep waters here. We need to send him back to the kiddie pool.
That was somebody talking about intern Dom, Bob.
Bob.
Has your relationship with him grown a little bit?
Yeah, I have no problem with him.
Whoever says that is a moron.
Even with that, I never had a problem with him.
He wasn't talking about you there, I don't think. He was making a general statement. Remember when you called Ron stupid, how mad he got?
I didn't call him stupid.
I know, but it was the same sort of dynamic as Dom insulting you. It was a general thing that Dom said. If you believed it, you'd be a moron. You said of Ron a general thing, if anyone who takes that take is stupid.
Right.
And Ron included himself.
But I didn't call him stupid. That's what you keep saying, and I didn't.
No, I did. Ron kept saying it.
Well, I know
I agree.
Ron kept saying
I agree with you, actually. I agree with you.
Hey, you were going to do this little drill about reimagining baseball and all these divisions.
I know. What are we doing? Oh, we're in the middle of the Limitless Express, Bob.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I just want to remind you that we should do that.
We will. Absolutely do that. I just don't know when, because you're leaving at 1:30 and all our segments are filled.
Okay.
Would you like to do a little of that now, or do you have another question?
I would love to do that now, Joe. Let's do it. Let's dive into it.
So you propose 8 divisions, 4 teams each.
Where's my notes? Hold on a second.
I don't have mine either.
Yeah, they're
I wrote
talking
this down
about
now.
Yeah, Rob Manfred is talking about geographic expansion in Major League Baseball. Okay? Here's my notes. And everybody's saying that the two markets added will be Nashville and Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City is a big one, right?
So you're going to have 32 teams, Bob. Are you suggesting, how would you do it? 2 conferences of 16 or 8-14 divisions?
No, I think 8-14. I mean, right now they have 5-team divisions. You can do 8-4. That's
32. Yeah, 8 divisions. Still an East or a West or a National American? Well, how would you do that?
I would still do it East and West, but I can see other opinions in this.
I would do it national. Well, you can't. No, there's no more National League and American League. There isn't anyway with all the inter-league play.
See, I'm one of these people who I really want to see rivalries. I like rivalries.
I've got the divisions for you, Bob.
Okay, you could create them too.
I did.
New ones.
I did. Would you like to hear some of them? Here's some of my divisions. Are you ready for this, Limits?
I'm buckled.
You have, I don't care, I'm thinking about calling one the Babe Ruth Conference and the other the Willie Mays Conference, Bob.
I'm okay with that.
Because it's certainly geographically and rivalry based. Okay, the Roberto Clemente division. You ready? Pirates, Guardians, Tigers, Brewers. A nice little rust belt. And that leads to a question. Because this is real, by the way. This is real that Major League Baseball wants to be more geographic. Right. Would you rather have Cleveland or Philly as your main rival? Tell me.
I'd rather have Cleveland.
So would I. If you ask me my favorite rivalry in sports history, it might be Pirates-Phillies.
Back in the day, but it doesn't really exist now.
No, but it's still in-state.
It is, but I think Cleveland is Cleveland.
Yeah,
so
I would rather have Cleveland.
Away.
Man, would I love a division with Philly, Cleveland, and the Reds, but if I had to have one, I'd take Cleveland.
Bob, you scoffed when I mentioned my division. What don't you like about it? I think it's a Rust Belt division.
Okay. I would go instead with Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Washington.
Here's the problem with that. You're depriving Philly of their big rival, which is the Mets, and you're depriving Washington.
I can't please everyone. You're asking me what I would do.
You're also
depriving
Washington of Baltimore. They play 4 minutes away.
All right, but you're telling me you'd rather have Detroit in there? Detroit's having a good year right now, but they're typically not, and I don't look at them as a rival.
I think they're comparable payroll-type teams, and it's a Rust Belt division. Pirates, Cleveland, Detroit, Milwaukee. Do you not like that, Limits?
No, I really don't.
What would your division be? Why would the Phillies want to be in that division?
Because it's in-state.
Yeah.
And you said once upon a time it was the best rivalry in baseball.
But you just poo-pooed it. You're going to strip them of their greatest rival?
You're asking me what I would do. I would put Philadelphia in there. I want Philly in with Pittsburgh.
So do I. Cleveland
in with Pittsburgh.
But how are you going to do that from Philly's perspective?
You can't please everybody here. I mean.
Well, you need to try.
Houston once was in the National League. Now they're over in the American League. And they
guess
switched.
Guess where I have Houston, Bob. Listen to this unbelievable division.
You have the South. What would it be? The South.
AL South.
Oh, wait. Listen to this. The Babe Ruth division. You ready for this? The Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Phillies. Yeah, baby! So,
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Under your precedent here, or what you're creating here, we're just basically wiping out ALNL.
It's already been wiped out.
Yeah, I think that will happen. It's already happened. Really?
You think they're just going to completely wipe it out? See, I don't see that happening at all.
I agree with Joe that I'd like to see that. Whether or not they do it, I don't know. But in an ideal world, I would like to see that.
Plus, what do you guys want Philly in the Pirates division? Now you're bringing in a giant payroll team compared to the Pirates, Guardians, Tigers, and Brewers. I think that's the ideal division.
Payroll is on the Pirates. They got to upgrade it. They can't be putting this in based on, well, you don't have as much money to spend, so therefore we're going to put you in this division. I don't look that way.
I put
the onus on the team spending.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll get a deal done next year at this end of the season.
Okay. Would you like to hear my Ernie Banks division?
Ernie Banks, one of the best Cubbies of all time.
This is an unbelievable Midwest division. Are you ready for this, Bob? Mm-hmm. You might want to buckle your seatbelt over there.
Okay.
The Cubs, the White Sox, the Cardinals, and the Royals. Imagine the vicious battles in that division.
Cubs and White Sox for sure, but I would include Milwaukee there over one of those teams just because Milwaukee-Chicago have a very good rivalry going.
That's true. That is very true. You could take out the White Sox, but I want to see a little Chicago on Chicago.
Yeah, I do like Chicago. Who are the other two teams you had in there?
St. Louis and Kansas City for the Missouri rivalry.
Yeah, I like that rivalry too.
Somehow. That's a great one. You could take out the White Sox, though, and just put Milwaukee in with the Cubs, St. Louis, and Kansas City.
Yeah, I would like that
I
better.
Would accept that. How about this division, Bob? You ready for a little south?
West?
We're going south.
Okay.
This is an unbelievable division, and it's the Hank Aaron division. Are you ready for this,
Hammer
Bob?
Hammer and Hank.
Atlanta, Nashville, Tampa Bay, and Miami. What a beautiful division that is. Yes, Limits?
Yeah, I'd say that's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Thank you.
I like that one.
Are you ready for my Ricky Henderson division, Bob?
Let's steal some bases.
Oakland, San Francisco, L.A., and Anaheim, right?
Well, Oakland will not be in Oakland eventually, but yes.
Oh, wait, I forgot about that. What am I doing?
So, Oakland,
Sacramento,
Vegas,
Sacramento. Eh, I suppose you could put the Padres in there. How about that? Dodgers, Anaheim, Giants, Padres.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I do like that.
Thank you. So I'm doing well so far. Do you guys have any ideas or suggestions that you had written
down?
No,
I just didn't like your the one that had the Phillies in another division. I just personally want to see the Phillies and the Pirates play a lot.
So do I, but if you had to choose between them or Cleveland, you'd take Cleveland?
Yes. I like Cleveland. I think that's another good, you know, it's 2 hours away.
How about this one, Bob? Washington, Baltimore. See, this division sucks because Washington and Baltimore are obvious, but you know what two outliers are here? The Blue Jays. Where do you put them? And Cincy.
Well, you could
because you only get four teams in a division. It's very difficult.
Cincinnati's a tough, that's another team I had a problem with trying to figure out where they would go. Because you'd like to see them with even Cleveland if you could do that.
Yeah, you could. How about Pirates, Cleveland, Cincy, and Philly? But then you're taking away Philly's rivalry again.
Pirates, Cincy, Cleveland, and you're asking about Toronto. I don't know where they figure. They could go on any one of these.
What are they closest to? The New York teams? They're only 5.5 hours from here.
What's your National League West division again, Joe?
Well, it's not National League. There's two West divisions. One of them would be Dodgers, Angels, Giants, and A's. And the other would be Padres, Diamondbacks, Mariners, and Rockies. You like that one?
I feel like they definitely want Padres, Dodgers to stay together. That's
all
not
right,
one of those
big
rivalries.
Put Anaheim down. But wouldn't Dodgers and Anaheim be natural? They're 30 miles apart practically.
Yeah, see, I kind of look at it the same way that the NFL does it with the Rams, Chargers, and the Giants and Jets. Keep it in separate conferences.
Yeah.
Same thing with the White Sox and the Cubs. I really don't think that they're going to do that. Now, I mean, if we are eliminating
Well, I don't care
the
what
preface,
they do. What would you do?
I'd keep it this what I would do, I would just add Nashville or whoever it's going to be to the NL East, and I would add Salt Lake City to the AL West and be done with it.
Oh, my gosh. There's opportunity here, Limits. You can get the Mets and Yankees going against each other with the Red Sox and Phillies.
I'd be willing to move some other things around, but instead of creating four different divisions NFL style, I would rather it still be the three different divisions, not expand the playoffs anymore, keep it at seven teams, three division winners, three wild card teams.
I'd have 10-team playoffs, Bob. 10-team. More playoffs are good for everybody. Or I'd have a play-in.
I'd have to shorten the season, though, if I'm going to do that.
How about a play-in like the NBA?
I like
one game.
You know, I at first did not like that, but the more I see it, the more I like it.
Oh, it's great.
It is. And it's immediate, man. You know what's at stake. And if you don't earn your way into one of those other, you know, positions that are already guaranteed of a series, you got to work.
Do you like the names of my divisions, Bob? It would be the Clemente division, the Ricky Henderson, the Hank Aaron, the Joe DiMaggio division, the Ichiro division, and the Derek Jeter division. Do you
All
like
good.
That?
No Cy Young.
He's already got something. He already got a little treat.
I like Ichiro.
He got a whole award named after him, for God's sakes. The Ichiro division is Seattle, Colorado, Arizona, and the Padres. You like that division?
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't
bother
me at all.
You didn't seem to like it much.
I'm just not that interested. I'm more interested in the rivalries around here and what could be made of them.
How about Houston, Texas, Utah, and Colorado?
I like that.
You like that, Limits?
Yes.
Utah,
because Utah has to find the space, and it's not going to be out in the West with those other teams.
Right. Utah, Houston, Texas, and Colorado. It's the Karl Malone division.
I like that.
Bob, that would be gigantic.
I would like that.
Could I give you the Athletics National League realignment put together by Stephen Nesbitt today?
Yes, you could.
So the Pirates division would be the Pirates, Mets, Phillies and Nationals.
You want them competing payroll wise with the Mets and Phillies?
I don't even care about that. I don't like that. I think, again, I have no problem with the Phillies.
Who cares about the Nationals, Bob?
That's why, well, I would rather have Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. What did I say? I did say Washington or Baltimore. Something close by.
What about Cincy? I'd like to see that rivalry continue.
I can't believe Cleveland would be in there, so that would be okay. Cleveland, Cincy, Pittsburgh.
I can't believe you guys don't love my Clemente Rust Belt division. Pirates, Cleveland, Detroit, Milwaukee. It's right down the Rust Belt limits.
Yeah. The other thing that I look at with this, too, and talking about some of these bigger market clubs, if this happens with realignment and everything, could it be that with this new CBA, there's the salary cap, salary floor anyway, and that would help maybe be able to put some of these things together where you're not as concerned about, oh, the Pirates trying to compete with a big market.
That's what I'm
payroll
hoping
like
for.
Philly or the Mets.
The payroll should have nothing to do with how this is aligned. It really shouldn't.
Well, it's going to. Even if there's a salary cap, what do you think? The Pirates are going to spend to the cap?
I think all teams should be able to spend the same amount of money, yes. And I hold no hope that that's going to happen. It's in my, you know, my wish list. But yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. So you don't have to worry about any of that. You worry about what are good rivalries, more so than, okay, I'm not putting you in because you can't keep up with this team, and it's like the poor man's division. It should never come to that.
I got an unbelievable question in the mailbag, speaking of that, Bob. It comes from Matt Cohate. Professor Starkey, if MLB gets a salary floor and ceiling in the next CBA, I know it's a huge if, he says, do you think being forced to spend nine figures each year might motivate Nutting to sell the team? And I got to thinking, like, that would be ironic because he's positioned himself as, you know, someone who's going to battle for the small markets in this next CBA. We know the small markets, we think at least, are fighting for a salary cap, but that's accompanied by a salary floor. And if you force him to rise to a floor, would that ironically be the one thing that would cause him to say, you know what, I'll take the $1.8 billion now and cash out? It got me to thinking.
It could. You know, if he doesn't want to go down that road, maybe so. But also, he's smart enough to know that the valuation will continue to rise regardless of what happens year after year.
Right.
1.8 turns into 2.3.
Every bubble bursts at some point.
In sports, I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
Like, if you look at Jerry Jones, where he bought that team or where it's valued now.
But when you get close to $2 billion and the Rays, who get nobody at their games, just sold for $1.7 billion, if you're Nutting, aren't you kind of thinking, I may be holding out for the best price. Is it going to get better than nearly $2 billion for this baseball team?
In time, it will.
I don't know, Bob. Who knows what happens in the world? Who knows what happens
everywhere? That, but the trend is it just keeps going higher and higher. Look at the Penguins. You just mentioned them. They sold for, what, $900 million or whatever it was?
Yeah.
For Mario.
Now it's 1-8.
Now it's 1-8. And what's happened? They've had three bad years of missing the playoffs, yet it's doubled in price.
I know. But would he be willing to lose money every year to get there?
He should
be. To have to rise to a salary floor? It at least, the question got me thinking. I thought it was a great question.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, that would be a problem for him. But at the same time, if you want to keep getting money if you're making money the way that valuation stuff goes, man, just spend. Have some fun. You know, go out and try to make something happen. Life's about memories and life's about opportunities. And you have the ability to make that available to all these sports fans who've wanted it to happen and you've done nothing. You should want to do that. Does he have a conscience that way? I would.
Well, speaking of sales of teams, potential, Sean Gentile joins us next to talk about this Penguins situation where this David Hoffman out of Florida, with his sons running his company, Elliot Friedman says they've become a major player here.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. It's 12:45 on a beautiful day. I know Joe's already thinking about golf. which is probably where he is right now, lining up a tee time. Would you say, Austin?
I would say probably is the case, yes.
Yeah, he's bitten by it, man. He works at it. He's gotten better at it. And I can see his handicap going down. We are right now going out to the fan hotline. We have Mr. Sean Gentile with us. Sean, how are you today?
The question is if I'm doing as well as your coworker, as your co-host, who I think maybe just dipped out to work on his swing, maybe?
He could be doing that. I have no idea where he went, but it may be. You know, there are a lot of reflective mirrors around here. So, yeah. You know, every time I see him stop, he's working on a part of his swing. I understand that because I've done it myself, but he's back now. So, Joe, I've already welcomed in Sean Gentile, and we surmise you were practicing your golf swing.
Do you have an extra golf shirt in your car, Bob? I was actually asking everybody in the build. How can we not have a fan golf shirt lying around here?
I
got invited to play at Hickory Heights today, and I'm wearing this. What am I wearing? A West Virginia
shirt.
I have
some pullovers. It would be too hot for you to wear, but no shirts.
You don't keep an extra.
Do you need me to drop one off? I can drive down and drop off a very tasteful Under Armour polo if you'd like, Joe.
Sure. If it's before 2 o'clock, or actually 10 to 2, so we're getting a little late here. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Season's coming. I'm working on a bunch of projects right now, so that's always like the signal that training camps are, you know, we're less than a full month away from it. We're 3 weeks away. So yeah, we're ramping up, doing preview stuff. Obviously,
oh my God,
Penguin sales stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, yes. We're talking about valuations about these franchises. It's unbelievable how
this is. Hold on a second. Time out. What? Something has happened here. I'm looking at Post-Gazette headlines. Quote, none of it feels real. Dan Zangrilli gets to live his dream as Pirates play-by-play announcer. There's a story on Dan Zangrilli in the Post-Gazette.
He did a really good job, too. I complimented him after
this.
This
is unbelievable. Who
Dan
wrote
was great.
This?
I heard several innings in the car. He was fantastic.
Yeah. What? What, Sean?
I said I heard a few innings of Dan doing play-by-play when I was in the car in that Cubs game. He sounded fantastic.
Yeah, he really did.
Oh, my God. There's a photo of him and everything. The Noah Constrictor wrote this story,
right.
Bob.
Right.
How about
I saw
that?
It. Yeah, it was good. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved by Dr. Zangrilli.
That's better than writing about the team. I'd rather write about the team, too.
Yes, unless it's Tommy Pham. Did you hear some of the quotes coming out of that one?
Absolutely. Watched it. My girlfriend's from Toronto, so I know more about the Blue Jays than I would like, honestly. So yeah, I was watching that one live. Tommy Pham's good at that. He's good at getting on people's nerves. We know that much. They've gotten their money's worth on that end.
Oh my God, some of the social media quotes of him going back at people was priceless. But yeah. I interrupted you in the middle of that, and I'm sorry, Bob.
No,
you were asking
I was
about
just
the valuation.
Say, yeah. So Sean, this. You know, the Fenway Sports Group comes in here and buys it for less than $1 billion, I think it was, whatever it was, $900 million. And now all of a sudden, 3 years later, it's being valued at like $1.7 billion in that range. And this is 3 years of non-winning, which supports my theory that valuation is what attracts all these people who have money to get these ownership opportunities, because you're always going to make money, even if you lose money year to year.
Including one David Hoffman, who Elliot Friedman said, has emerged as a serious contender, the Hoffman family, the Hoffman family singers. They've got more holdings than any business owner I've ever seen. And I'm not exaggerating when I say everything from newspapers to plastics to golf courses to geraniums to greenhouses. They have a million businesses here.
Wineries.
What do you make of all this? Wineries, yeah.
I think they're proof of the principle that Bob was talking about, that nothing accrues value quite like a professional sports team, right? Because at the heart of all that is that they own the Florida Everblades, who are a really successful ECHL team, made a bunch of money there. I think you've seen that over the years where ownership groups will start out on the lower end of things, kind of trade their way up, amass value elsewhere, maybe get into plastics or wine or whatever other rackets the Hoffmans are in. And it's a legitimate way to go about, you know, getting to the level where you can meet the $1.8 billion price tag, which is where things are. And then on the league end of things, that's obviously in a big reason, you know, we've seen, you know, not just the value of the Penguins, but the value of NHL teams in general. The reasons we've seen that skyrocket over the last couple of years is because of expansion, because they know that they can tie the ask when it comes to existing teams that are for sale to the cost of an expansion team. And if/when the NHL moves to 34 teams, you know, you're looking at $2 billion. So it makes it much more realistic, you know, whether it's the Penguins or the Tampa Bay Lightning or any team that maybe comes up for sale, you know, in this era, that's the number we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just shocked it's gone that high so quickly, I guess. And let's talk about the interest on behalf of Ron Burkle and Mario Lemieux, because it's just surprising for Mario, at least from my point of view, just because he seems to have everything he's ever wanted. He's living a very good life. He's got a lot of grandkids now and a lot of opportunity to spend time with them. What do you think would be the driving force for that group, specifically him?
I thought it was interesting that in the first round of stories that came out about this, we've been talking about this in some form or fashion, really since January, when FSG said that they wanted to bring on maybe minority owners. Things get dialed up in June whenever it comes out that some combination of Mario and Burkle and Morehouse want to get involved. I know Josh Yowie reported on that. Like we've seen several versions of that story. The interesting part of that is that I think you can surmise that in one way or another, that was Lemieux saying that he wanted back in. Like that, those stories don't get out if that ownership group doesn't, to some degree, you know, want it known that they want to be involved. So yeah, I definitely thought that was interesting given where Mario's at in his life. I think his kids are older now, obviously, like Austin's out of college. Like, I think that might be part of it. You know, like there's people get to different points in their lives. And, you know, even if we're only talking 3 or 4 years. So I think that's a big part of it too. But also, you know, something that we have to consider when we're talking about Lemieux and Burkle and Morehouse is that, and Joe, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when Bob was out. Like, it's one thing to want something. Like, Mario Lemieux can want to get back in all he wants. David Morehouse can want to get back in all he wants. If you don't have the cash, it's not going to work. And I think that's why we're talking about the Hoffman Group now, because there was a price set on that team. We know now it's somewhere in the $1.8 billion range. And I think it was fair to surmise even back in June, even if Burkle was involved, that it was going to be tough for Lemieux, for any Lemieux group to hit that number. So I think that's why we've pivoted there. And now we're talking about a group that maybe has some deeper pockets than the folks we've come to know over all these years.
Well, it's going to be mighty interesting to see how this plays out. In the meantime, the Penguins themselves, nothing has happened in a long time now. Will something before we get to training camp? And training camp is right around the corner. Are we looking at, I don't know, is Erik Karlsson going to be at training camp? What is happening here?
So last I heard, and this is like in the last week or so, like there's sources with other teams, league sources, that are still saying that the asking price is high. And it's for both those guys, for Raquel and Russ specifically, were the guys I asked about. But you're looking at multiple assets, I think, that Dubas is still looking for in return. And that's a lot. Like, we love Brian Rust. Ricard Raquel is coming off the best season of a pretty good career. These guys are valuable, and there aren't, also obviously we've seen with free agency, there aren't a lot of quality players to be had just in general. So they have some degree of value, and I think what you're seeing here is that Dubas has the mark set high, and I think what we're seeing is him, you know, sticking to his guns and saying, I'm not going to trade these guys until I get what I want for them. I think that's been it more than anything. But overall, like, if you look at the last 3 months in totality, like, I'm certainly surprised that especially Raquel and Rust, I'm surprised that both of those guys, you know, seem like they're on track to start camp with the Penguins. I figured they would move one of them, if not both, and that's obviously hasn't been the case.
What about the goaltending situation? I like the pickup they made in the trade with Vancouver. I think Shelofs is a pretty good goaltender, and I don't know if he was blocked over there or felt that way, but I think that guy could come in and do something. What does it mean for guys like Tristan Jarry and two of the younger guys down there who, you know, and Blomqvist, specifically because he was up here, and I don't think he did all that much when he was up there, so he goes back down. And Mirashov looks like he has potential, but he may be too young. So what do you think that looks like in the goaltending department?
Yeah, Bobby said it. Shelofs was blocked. Thatcher Demko, you know, is a legit starting goaltender. Now he had injury issues last year, but they just signed him to a massive deal. Yeah. So Demko's locked in there. The backup, Kevin Lankinen's locked in as well. He's a guy they extended. and Shelobs was waiver eligible, right? So they knew that they were gonna, you're not gonna carry three goaltenders. So Vancouver moved on from him. I think it's incredibly likely, I think, that he starts as the backup for sure. And I think organizationally, you know, the priority seems like, you know, you obviously want to give those younger guys consistent starts at the AHL level, particularly, Musarov. So, yeah, I think that's where we're at. I think that the NHL goaltenders are pretty well set, and that they're going to focus on developing those younger guys in the AHL and making sure they can consistently play.
Another little bit of Penguins news today was Mike Rupp out on the TV broadcast. Sean, I guess that's more for Borky and Colby Armstrong would be the obvious conclusion to
that,
yes?
Yeah, it sounds like Phil's going to do more TV too. Like, I know he'd done a lot of radio. He'd done radio primarily over the last couple years. You know, Colby's a busy guy. Colby does a lot of stuff for Turner, for TNT. He's got, you know, work that he does in Canada too. So that's interesting. I feel like Colby just got a little busier. But yeah, it seems like we're going to see more of those guys certainly.
All right. Last but not least, any chance we see you at the Wild Things game Saturday night? It's Bob Pompiani bobblehead night. He's throwing the first pitch to me. Limits is going to warm him up in the bullpen. It's going to be a big night. I know you're a big fan of the show. We'd love to see you out there.
I wanted to apologize to people who were watching on YouTube because my face replaced the Bob bobblehead. That's a major downgrade. So apologies to everybody. Yeah,
not anymore. It didn't. There we go.
There we go.
Look at that. Look, Bob.
That's great.
It's like you're a ventriloquist. You can just talk like you're me. You're right in the middle there, Sean.
Yeah. Then
I'll buy you
a
French martini. That's my drink of choice. Hopefully they're going to have plenty of those down there.
Might it happen, Sean? Will we see you on Saturday night?
Throw me some comps, baby. Put me on the guest list. I'll show up.
How about that, Bob?
I'll do what I can. I mean, I got to get some direction about, you know, what I actually can do. I'm not sure of that yet. But
that'd
I would
great.
Love to see you.
Whatever it is. Oh, wait, Joe, are you catching it or is Limits catching it?
I'm going to catch the actual ball. Limits is going to warm Bob up in the bullpen.
I got benched, Sean.
Do you feel benched? I thought you seemed eager for that role before. Do you want to catch the ball?
When
you
was
can
the
catch
last
the
time
ball,
you
Limits?
Threw a baseball, Sean, with any length, you know, with any speed, velocity to it? Because it's been a long time.
I think a baseball, not a softball.
No, a baseball.
Joe played some softball games with us at the PG back in the day. He knows. I've fired softballs. I haven't tried to put a baseball over the plate in probably 25 years.
Well, maybe limits. You could stand at the plate with a bat in your hand and fake a bunt.
I could
throw
do that.
Bob off.
I was just joking, but whatever we can do to make
head.
Bob,
you may not like that.
Sure,
you got to swap it out. You got to swap it out for a wiffle ball if it's limits because he's not used to throwing anything.
He's a champion. Did you hear about this? His team won the championship on Sunday, and Limits had a big
Firebirds
game.
Winners. Yes,
I'm not surprised to hear that, dude. You put enough time into it. For God's sakes, you should be good at wiffle ball,
well,
given
Sean,
that's like your second full time job.
How many years you've been doing it for? How many years?
We've played the league for 6 years. I had lost in the championship the previous 2 years. My first year was 2-18. So. Every other team other than me and one other team has won the championship. It was about time.
It's a dramatic story, Bob, is it not? Are you proud of him?
Yes, he's put a lot of work in. I've seen it. and to watch it come to fruition like this is something special.
We drove 12 hours to Vermont last weekend, Sean, to play in a tournament.
And then they quit in the middle of the tournament.
We did not quit in the middle of the tournament.
What happened?
Austin, how old are you now? 18,
oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go. I know where this is going. I'm 24, Sean. You should see the amount of people that are like in their 40s that are playing in these national tournaments.
Really?
I mean,
I'm not kidding. Like,
what's the
mid-30s, late 30s to their 40s playing in these tournaments?
Yeah, what kind of personalities are we talking about there? Yes, they're in their 40s, but what kind of vibes do they put out?
Better than you would imagine, to be honest.
Better than you would imagine.
You got some time left. I'll give you a grace period here.
And now he has to defend all this next year. So at age 25, he'll still be doing
that's it. That's right. Hey, look at the guys that are in Major League Baseball right now. Andrew McCutchen is 38 and still playing. I'm just entering my prime at 25.
That's right.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.